Hi, I'm Kate.
And I'm Lori. We've always thought that the most compelling story strikes the perfect balance between an honest look at the mess of life and the humor that can be found in the mess. To be perfectly honest, we don't really know how to live life without both the humor and the authenticity.
Our podcast might be a little bit of whiplash at times. We can spin from hard and deep to humor and laughing on a dime. The hard will be really hard, and the truths we share are the ugliest of humanity. We don't intend to make it seem like it's all fine or to pretty up the pain, but we also know that the joy we found is all the more profound because of the pain.
So we hope you can stick with us through the ugly, because there will also be joy and hope and humor. Welcome to The Ugly Truth About the Girl Next Door.
Yes. Okay.
Here we go.
Welcome back to The Ugly Truth About the Girl Next Door.
Okay. Start over again.
Why?
Because I think I was talking over you when you were introducing.
I know, this is why it's so hard to do this.
Okay,
start over. Welcome back to The Ugly Truth by the Girl Next Door. We sound a little bit different today because, unfortunately, I have COVID. So we couldn't be in the same room or even in the same house to record. So we're trying it over the airwaves.
And wow, are we a hot mess.
Yes. So thank you for all the nice things that people said to us about we are, you know, podcasters. People were like, yes, you guys are podcasters. But if anyone had seen us in the last 45 minutes trying to figure out this record with friends feature, they would take those comments back.
Yeah, not so much. Not like, so much.
100%. We are ridiculous.
We're trying.
We are trying. We're trying to plug through this. You know, COVID happens.
Just keep swimming.
Yeah, you got to keep rolling with it. So, okay. So today we are talking about, we had said at the end of our last episode that we were going to talk about, continue on with the story and kind of what happened after high school into college. And we still are going to do that episode at some point. But this past week after dropping our last episode.
Listen to you, podcaster.
Dropping. No. I know I'm even using the right terminology. OMG.
You are the coolest.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
No, but after our last episode about the chapel and their epic fail. there has been so much that has happened this week. And just a lot of emotions, a lot of feelings, a lot of things. And so we just felt compelled to come on here today and just share some of that with our audience, our people.
You're our people.
Like, what is happening? I feel so out of my element right now.
Oh, well, this is sort of a state of being for us these days, out of our element.
Yeah, that is for sure.
Which is part of how it feels.
It is. Yeah. So yeah, today we're talking about how it feels. So first of all, we just want to thank so many people that have been super, super supportive with every new episode that we release, but specifically the most recent one, just the outpouring of support has really been incredible. I also would like to thank, I feel like I'm on I just received an Emmy or something.
We'd like to thank all of our supporters.
My family. Oh,
my
Lord.
Gosh.
No, but there's some other local churches who have really stepped up and are making a difference in this story and are making a difference for me just watching good churches and good pastors really come to the table and do it right. And for that, I'm really, really thankful. I don't know if we can say their names on here or not, but
I think we should probably hold off unless they tell us that they want that.
Okay, that's fine.
But there have been several churches locally where the pastors have intentionally reached out to us to say, first off, help us know how to help keep our people safe. And also, how can we help you? Tell us what we can do to support what it is that you're trying to do here, both the safety piece, but also helping the Church of Western New York stand for the vulnerable more effectively.
Right.
Which just means so much, so, so much to see this done well.
Right.
It gives us hope.
Yeah, no, it does. Absolutely. It gives me a lot of hope because there's just been, decades of my life just not ever really seeing that come to fruition. So to have these people now stepping out and saying, I'm with you, like anything I can do, you know, I stand for you, I stand with you, is just really pretty incredible.
And not feeling like they have to probe for more information. Like that's part of it is
right.
They have listened to the podcast, which step one, if you're wondering what's going on, listen to the podcast. Some we are hearing have given pushback, but they haven't listened to the podcast. That seems, I don't know how to make sense of that, but they've listened to the podcast and not that they haven't asked any follow-up questions, but they have certainly, okay, I can hear you typing, just saying.
I'm not typing, I'm trying to turn my volume up.
Okay. Anyway, see, this is what happens when we're not right in front of each other. We can't give each other sarcastic looks. We have to say the sarcastic things to one another. This is such a problem.
I don't like it.
So anyway, it has meant a lot that they have asked, sure, they've asked some follow-up questions, but they have not felt the need to probe for like deep bits of the story that we've not already shared, which in order to believe it, I guess is what I'm saying. So
yeah, they did exactly what our whole message has been, to default on standing with the victim. That has been their default. It was like not even a question. And one of them actually, I don't even know if I told you this, but my father-in-law actually reached out to one of them just to say like, thank you so much for supporting, and you know, Patrick and Kate as we walk through this, and Lori, and the pastor's response was, you know, I'm always surprised by people's surprise that I would do this, because like this seems just so like, of course I would stand with you, this is the right thing to do. So yeah,
right,
these guys are just, they are killing it, so we're really thankful for that. And just for all the support, honestly, there's been a lot of support. I was just saying to someone yesterday that I have yet to see, maybe I'm jinxing it by putting this out there, but I have yet to see negative feedback. I was afraid, you know, making this story public, I was afraid, of course, that there would be, I think the cool term is trolls. I think that's what we're supposed to say.
Podcasters would say that.
Yeah, they would say that. Instagrammers would also say that. Wow. No, but just like people making, you know, whatever, not so nice comments. And like, we really haven't had that. So again, I'm just really thankful for that, for just all the support. But today we just kind of want to highlight, I guess, kind of how this all feels and just, you know, the enormity of what we're sharing and how it has really spread. I mean, in the last week, it has feels like it's spreading like wildfire, and just kind of what that looks like for us behind our fun. We're so funny, but like there's so much that goes on behind all of that. Like,
can we talk about the funny thing for a minute? Because this is one of the little interesting anecdotal things that has been said. So several people, I think they've all been men, which I think we're highlighting here the difference between men and women and how we sometimes function. Several men, even men who believe what we're sharing, have said, yeah, like sometimes I just don't understand how it is like you're joking and laughing and then you're talking about trafficking and sexual abuse and horrendous things. I don't know how to make sense of that. But mostly women are like, well, yeah, that's how we get through life. I don't know what to tell you. And anybody who has had trauma, they also completely get it, because any pain that you just stare at without kind of taking a break from it or coming up for air, you're going to drown. So for those of you who are confused by how it is that we do this whiplash thing, that's how and why.
Absolutely. But I think that, you know, like, I think that's kind of also what we want to talk about today. Just that, like, there's so much more that goes into this than just us being witty and funny. And, you know, that's definitely just us naturally, but it's also, you know, we do that for the sake of, yeah, not having it be so intense and so hard, I guess. Right. But that doesn't mean that it's not hard behind the scenes. So we keep kind of saying to each other, like, yay for how many people are listening. And at the exact same time, like, oh my God, that's how many people are listening. And all of the emotions that go with this. I mean, First of all, that this is what it came to, right? That it took going public with this information to get anybody to listen is wildly disturbing. But also just putting my like real life out there, my trauma, out there for public consumption. And like, yay, because people are hearing it and listening it and believing it, but also like, oh my God, like what if all these people change their minds? And also yay. And also, oh my God. And also yay. Like, yeah, it's like just this unbelievable yo-yo.
So can you talk for a second about that? What if they change their minds thing?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm, you know, you can see kind of throughout the podcast with my different escape attempts, there being people who kind of cared, who I think did care for a minute, and then heard the narrative, heard, you know, the lies that were coming out, heard someone say to them, oh, be careful what she says to you, be careful what you listen to, you know, whatever, she just wants attention, and then they change their minds. So that is always my fear, is that someone will hear it for the first time and believe it, and then they will hear the narrative, and they will hear something else, or not even something else, but they will hear, yeah, the lies that have been spread, and they will change their minds about believing it, which is actually still happening. People are telling me, you know, I told someone about this podcast, and then they told me to be careful what you said because they know something about when you were in, like, high school. And it's kind of like, oh my God, that narrative is still out there.
And by the way, why are we thinking that even if, okay, you were not just dramatic in middle school and high school, you were traumatized and you were struggling. But even if there was somebody, I mean, who behaves as an adult the way that you do in middle school and high school? Not very many people. So why would we ever think it reasonable to judge someone based on how they were in middle school? Right. That's insane to me.
But people are. That's, yes. I mean, not a lot. You know, like I said, the support has been incredible thus far. But there are, that's still out there. That narrative is still out there, and it is still being said. So, yeah, of course, I am like, yay. And also, like, could this just be another epic escape attempt fail on a much, much larger scale? Like, that is my fear.
So you said something, Kate, on one of our earlier episodes that has reverberated in my brain. And that is that you said that sometimes people in the past were unable to hold enough of your story to actually help. And that has gone around and around in my brain, because I do think that that's part of it, is that people have struggled to hold all of this. Like, they can hold a piece of it, but they can't hold all of it. And I think that's part of your fear, is that people are going to hear one piece too many and then suddenly be like, that's too much. I can't hold that much. And mm-hmm. then even if they believe it, they're going to tap out because it's just too much.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yes.
So it's scary.
It is very scary. This is all very scary. Yeah, it's super, super scary. But let's go back and talk about the yay for a second, because we're, again, we keep saying it's back and forth, right? We keep being like, yay, and also, oh my God, and then crying, and then sobbing, and then I'm like, okay, and my phone's blowing up, and I don't even know. God, I need a Xanax.
I'm a little jealous.
I know. Anyway. okay, so the yay part. So our goal, obviously, has been safety and awareness. And on some levels, we are reaching that goal. I have personally felt super validated in hearing people say they believe me. You know, we kind of already said this, but the lies that they told me, you know, that nobody would believe you and everybody would hate you, really proved themselves to be true. They, when people then did hate me and people did not believe me, it really kind of solidified that in my brain. So having people now saying to me, I listen to your podcast, I don't even know you, or I do know you, I remember you, but I believe you, and all of it makes sense, is this weird experience for me. In a good way, it's very validating, and it's also, it kind of is undoing some of those lies. So absolutely super, super awesome. It's also in terms of raising awareness. We've also had survivors who have come forward because they heard the podcast. We've been able to talk to people and have conversations with people who know more details, more of those peripheral puzzle pieces we were talking about. And that's been super helpful, just kind of putting it all together and trying to, again, move forward with safety. But we got an email that she's a survivor of sexual abuse, and she we asked her if it would be okay if we shared her email on the podcast, just to give you a little bit of an idea of what it is that we've been hearing. Lori, do you want to read that?
Sure. The email says, "Kate, as I sit here listening to your story, my heart completely breaks for you. Thank you for being open and honest. I know how difficult that can be. I was sexually abused growing up for years by my next door neighbor. I just finished the episode on trauma and faith, and it brought up a lot for me. I remember my old youth pastor telling me I just had to get over it and move on. I felt so embarrassed at that time that I even told him, because I felt like I was being scolded for something that happened to me. I stopped going to counseling and need to get back in it. I still feel like I have so much to unpack. Listening to your podcast definitely made me realize that more. Thank you so much for being so open and vulnerable." That is such a powerful reminder for us of why we're doing this.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. There's like so much in that email that I would like to unpack, but this is not the episode. But also, can we just point out the old youth pastor situation and her feeling so embarrassed at the time? This is literally like resonating with me in just such an unbelievable way.
You and many other people that have approached us after this of the, it's so, again, there's plenty of research out there about this too, but there's so much evidence to suggest that the abuse is traumatizing, obviously, in its own way. But in many ways, the impact of what comes after a disclosure is as traumatic. In fact, I just listened to the most recent Mars Hill podcast, where they unpack the sexual harassment and issues in their own organization. And that is one of the things, actually, I'm saying that. I don't know if it comes up in that, but I've also been watching the Hillsong documentary. And in one of those, that's exactly what they say. The people over and over and over are saying it's the response of those leadership that is so traumatizing.
Of anyone. I mean, I feel just, I mean, over and over and over again, the response being what it was is, I mean, we just had a conversation the other day about a disclosure that I made, and I was like climbing the walls thinking about it because it was not good. So yeah, it's definitely true that that's, you know, and her, the way she puts that, "I felt so embarrassed at the time that I even told him," is exactly how I feel. It's like you said, having even one person say that to us, you know. Sorry, go ahead. You were going to say something.
No, I was just going to say, and that is why it's so critically important that we equip church people, leaders who are in a position where someone might feel safe enough to come to them. We need to equip them to know how to respond in a way that doesn't feel like a scolding or embarrassing.
Yeah. This is another episode too. But I was actually talking to, someone yesterday. She actually was my old boss at Harvest House. And she was, her statement, and I would actually love to get her on here to interview her, because she, you know, runs a not-for-profit. She's done it for a long time. She understands volunteers. And so just that connection to how she's feeling about all this would be really helpful. But the one thing she said to me yesterday is, you know, the biggest thing that she has learned is, if you don't know how to handle it, if you don't know what to do, if, you know, people keep saying, "Well, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do when she told me." So if you don't know what to do, you find somebody who does. You know, you don't just say, "I didn't know what to do, and so therefore you do nothing." You find somebody who does know what to do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Please. So,
yes. Okay. Sorry. That was like a total soapbox. Moving on.
No, that was, people need to remember that. And there are, yeah. I mean, you can even Google it. I mean, you can Google anything. There are tips.
Probably a YouTube video.
I'm sure. Yes. We just had that conversation earlier.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So another person that reached out to us, not a survivor herself, but said to me, "You know, I just keep thinking about you as in middle school, as being ignored As a middle school teacher, I hope that I've never missed the signs for another girl. I really appreciate you sharing because it's really eye-opening. My brain would never have went there for a student. And now I 100% think I will be more open to it. Again, you know, if we can even affect one teacher, one school counselor, one person in authority to help one person, it will have made this worth it. So that's why the yay. That's why the, oh my goodness, yay. Look at all these people that listen to us. That's part of it.
It's very encouraging. Very hopeful.
Yeah, after for sure.
Feeling like we were like just you and me in my office trying to unpack all of this stuff and making progress, but still being aware that there's this bigger reality that needs to be dealt with. And now I feel like we're making some headway in that.
Yeah, absolutely. So speaking of your office, how does it feel for you? Because we talk a lot about how it feels for me, and we will talk about the flip side of the yay. But I keep wondering, like, I mean, you've dedicated your career to helping vulnerable people and to helping people find their voice, but not really in a public forum. Usually it is like in the quiet spaces of your office. So what does this feel like?
It's a little disorienting for one thing. Because I'm breaking every rule that I've ever been taught, right? And obviously we wouldn't be doing this except with you, but you know, yeah. And I honestly, I'm also constantly making sure that I'm filtering through what is public and what is private, just that you and I have shared in private. So yeah, it's a little disorienting in that way, but mm-hmm. It's also incredibly empowering because for so long, I mean, certainly even before I met you, Kate, I had this feeling of like, gosh, there is just this bigger reality that needs to be tackled. And I wish I could figure out how to do that because there needs to be more awareness. But then there was also, I've had 4 years with you where I have felt like, how do we get you safe? How do we get this to be something that is like moving forward? And up until this, I don't think we really were getting much traction in spite of a lot of what we tried. So that it's very encouraging. It's also just frankly pretty overwhelming and stressful because it's great that we're being inundated. It is so encouraging. So please don't stop sending us messages, but it's also very overwhelming.
A really good segue into the flip side, I think, too. It is overwhelming. It's incredibly overwhelming. There's still, you know, well, yeah, first of all, it's just stressful, especially this last week has been just a lot. There's been responses that we didn't expect, responses that we should have expected, responses that we are expecting and that haven't happened. And everything feels, and you can speak to this, Sue, but everything feels immediate to me. Like, it feels like I'm in the middle of my workday and you're in the middle of your workday, and it's like, we got to deal with this right now, you know?
Right.
And that's not necessarily the case. That's just the way it feels because it's just a lot all at once. But for me, there's also kind of that shame element. So like I talked about, there still is that just embarrassing that I'm even talking about this, embarrassing that people are hearing these awful things that happened to me. That feeling of like, ugh, just ew. And I wonder if people, if that's all they can see now. So there's that a lot of the time.
So can you comment on, is that what you have found, that the people who now know, because you and I had talked about that at length, this fear that you had that this would become your whole identity. Is that how you feel when people know and you're interacting with them?
No, it's really not. It's just mostly in my own head that I feel that way. But I mean, no, I don't feel like people are being weird or different or anything like that. It's in my head. It's just me in my head.
It's understandable.
Like, yuck, you know, especially I think when we are trying, like we've been trying to put together this outline for like what happened in college for weeks, and I just can't, it's just a lot. And, it's mostly that I just don't know. I don't know how to put it out there, I guess. And it's not really any different than anything else. It's, I just, every time we do an episode that has more of that detail in it, it just makes me, my skin crawl. So there's that. There's also the fear element. Calling out the chapel is not an easy feat. So there's definitely the fear of retribution, the fear that people, like we talked about before, will believe one day and then change their minds. There's this really crazy fear that I'm just going to say that God will hurt me for calling out his church. There's a lot of fear of that because, again, God has been used against me in a lot of ways. And even though I know this is the right thing to do, and I know for sure what I know, it's just this irrational fear of that.
Which is understandable considering what your experience has been. The reality is that's what you were told, that's what you were shown, and of course it's scary.
Yeah, right. And then there's just exhaustion too, which is what we were saying with the stress. We're just exhausted at times. So, sorry. I did ask for a decade of sleep. COVID is not exactly what I had in mind.
yeah, no.
And yet I'm off of work for 10 days and yeah, no, but it's, there's this exhaustion element too. We're both just fighting so hard to do this huge thing. And at times it's exhilarating, like we said, but then it's adrenaline producing. And then there comes the crash and it's time consuming. So it's exhausting, right?
Well, yeah, that roller coaster is huge. It's very exhausting to be on a cortisol and adrenaline high. And then, yeah, that crash is a big deal. Yeah,
it's a huge crash. and then there's also the frustration element. This last week, we're watching the chapel try to spin it, right? That's the best way to put it. Instead of just owning it and doing the right thing. They are very much, hi, Silas.
Can you hear him? Oh, yeah. Excellent.
I miss him.
All right. There he goes.
No, but instead of, you know, just owning it and doing the right thing, they are not. They're spinning it. They're spinning around. They're I don't know what they're doing, but they're not doing the right thing. Let's just put it that way.
No, they're not straight up owning it.
They are sure not. So there's that. And then there's also the frustration. I was thinking about this yesterday. Because someone had shared that they had seen my abusers in church and actually in a class at the chapel. And I thought to myself, they are just literally going on with their life as if nothing is happening, just completely unscathed, showing up to stuff, you know, all while we're walking through this really hard, heavy thing that we're doing, and obviously all for good reason, but it's just like this sick feeling of like, are you freaking kidding me? You know?
It's kind of mind-boggling, really.
It is mind-boggling. It's also mind-boggling to me, though, that, like, again, we've called up the chapel and these people are just showing up to church, to functions at church, and nobody is like, hey, what the heck?
Maybe you don't want to be here right now. Like, maybe not.
Right.
Why not? Right. Why are we not saying that?
But no, God forbid we have a hard conversation. Sorry. Totally not salty. But all of that being said, all of the frustration and the exhaustion, we keep going because it's important. It's really important for me. Sometimes I am the driving force of like, Lori, we have to record. We keep going. it's important to me for safety, of course, for awareness. I hate this word. I don't know why, but it's important for healing. I know. Isn't that so dumb that I hate that?
No, I get it. I know. It feels like we're trying to make it something that's super sweet and tidy and put it in the nice box with the pat with the bow on it. But that
yeah, and it's actually awful and itchy and horrible, and I just like
right.
But
exactly.
It is important for healing. I've had, like I said, again, I've had so many people not believe me or believe me for a minute until they hear what my abusers say, or for an hour or whatever, and then they change their minds, or they want to help, but they don't know how to help, or, you know, whatever. So doing this has definitely been undoing a lot of that. That's important.
Which I don't want to skim past that. So those of you who are listening and who are affirming and responding positively to this, both in terms of pushing at the institution to change its response, but also reaching out with support to Kate, I want to make sure that we all fully recognize that is life-changing for Kate and therefore her family, life-changing for me. I mean, honestly, I've been battling this battle my entire adult life, but sort of in the shadows because we don't talk about this stuff publicly. But now all of a sudden there's all these people supporting. And by the way, every survivor who is listening, statistically, that's 1 in 4 women and 1 in 6 boys, girls, men, 1 in 6 men and 1 in 4 women. That's a lot of people listening to this who are also finding their voice. That yep. is monumental. That's right. Huge.
Right. Right. Yeah, absolutely. So we keep going.
We keep going.
We keep going. Yeah.
So thank you. Right. Do we have more?
I don't know. We just had a couple quick things that we wanted to mention. I don't know if we.
Yeah, we should. Right. Okay.
So, we just had.
Okay. So first off, it was mentioned to us that it might help for us. Can you hear Silas barking?
Oh, I love it so much.
Isn't that wonderful? Right. I do. I really wish he would just stop for a minute, but, so it was pointed out to us that it maybe sounded a little bit to people like, okay, so Kate has mentioned 3 churches, the very first church that everybody came from, the church where the abuse happened physically in the church, and then the chapel. So it was pointed out to us that we maybe needed to clarify that it's not that all the people that came over from the first church to the second church, not all of those people were involved in the abuse.
No.
It's just that a lot of the people who were involved in the abuse did in fact come from the first church. The other thing that has been asked to point out to us, in fairness to the board of the chapel, it was pointed out to us that maybe we were asking them for them to do things that they don't actually have the power to do.
We haven't even talked about this yet, but okay. I would like to make a note there that, again, we are hoping to have some guests on our podcast. One of those guests being my father-in-law, who was, a board member for a long time, who vehemently disagrees with this statement, but
okay. All right. Well, what was said to me was that the board has a fiduciary responsibility to the chapel and only that power, meaning for the money, but that they do not have any spiritual leadership responsibilities. But apparently that is not how your father-in-law understood his role. Okay, we're trying really hard to be fair, right? We're trying to tell the truth, even if the truth is maybe something that, I don't know, is not necessarily, it's something that we have to backtrack on. So we want to be fair. And if that's what the board of the chapel is saying, then there's either a problem with the way the church is set up, or there's a problem with the understanding that the board has of what their role is. Because
yeah. And I guess my follow-up question to that, just again, this episode is not about that, but if that is the case, if that is the role of the board of the chapel, then who holds the leadership accountable? What is the answer to that? Who holds the lead pastor, the 2 executive pastors, and the staff accountable? Because if it's not the board, then who is it?
Okay, right. So here's something like that I like blew my mind a little bit. Somebody said to me that the chapel has a financial leader, one of the executive pastors. They have a worship leader, that's one of the other executive pastors, and they have a preaching leader, that's the lead pastor. But they don't have a shepherd. There's nobody whose responsibility it seems to be to shepherd the flock to, and maybe they would say that that's the counseling pastor, but if that's true,
we got problems.
Yeah.
We got big problems.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
But again, who is holding all of those people responsible
right.
and accountable if it's not the board? That is my question.
Well, we are. And the Church of Western New York hopefully is increasingly.
Yeah, let's hope.
Okay. So,
yeah.
There you go.
I think that's good. That's that episode, just how we're doing, how we're feeling. Thank you again so much for all the comments and the support. And I mean, really, all the things have been so good as this just continues to grow. You know, we still have a lot of information to share. So stay with us, stick with us. Don't go anywhere.
Yeah, we are talking about, so the episode that covers college time, Kate has agreed to let me do an episode about where's God in the ugliest of the ugly things. We are going to, a lot of people have asked, oh, do we have any thoughts or suggestions about how to make sure that their church is mm-hmm. has things in place to make sure that there's an appropriate response to allegations. So we're going to do our best to tackle that stuff. So there, we're going to have guest interviews of people who have, again, peripheral pieces to go with this. So yeah, hang in there with us. There's more to come.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, it's just Kate. I guess that wasn't entirely the end of the episode. We got finished recording yesterday and we don't usually publish right away, just, you know, editing. And then late last night, we received an email from another survivor of human trafficking. She's out of the trafficking situation, has been for quite a while. But she shared with us that for like 20 years, she has just stayed silent and she hasn't talked about it and she hasn't, she's kept it in the boxes kind of. And that listening, she's been listening to the podcast and she said, you know, while it's hard and it's triggering, I just keep listening. And, the fact that you finding your voice has empowered me is what she said, to find mine and to open up about it. And I read this email and I literally just burst into tears. And I'm texting Lori like, okay, I'm a crazy person. Like, why am I sobbing right now? And I think I know why, but I guess what I want to share is that it's a really perfect example of the yo-yo that we were trying to explain, that like, yay, like, oh my goodness, I am humbled and I am incredibly grateful and I am incredibly honored to be a part of that, to have someone listening to my story and to have these so many people listening and hearing, and anybody who is finding their own voice, just knowing that that I was able to help in that way, even a little bit, is incredibly honoring and incredibly humbling. But at the same time, I think, I don't know, who is this girl, you know? Because there's a lot of days where I just still feel like the little kid stuck sitting in the closet by myself, crying, terrified and scared and alone. I still feel like that little kid sometimes, a lot of times. And so it's just this weird split reality of people telling me, listen, you speaking up and finding your voice and, you know, putting it out there has made me feel empowered, has made, you know, given me a voice and has pushed me to go back to counseling or to get help. It's this like, oh my God, like that's crazy and amazing. And I'm so, so, so grateful to know that and to hear those things. And at the same time, I'm like, really though, like because of me, because most days I don't feel adequate for that. I don't feel like I found my voice. I feel like I'm still finding it. I feel like I, every time we, you know, and we said this before, but every time we try to write an outline for an episode or, try to record, it's just, it's hard and it's painful and it's, I am still finding my voice, I guess, is the point of saying all of this, that, that there are so many days that I'm not okay. Lori and my husband both can 100% attest to that. So I guess I just want to say that, to be transparent and to be honest, that I'm thankful and I'm so grateful to have been given this platform and this this opportunity to speak my truth and to speak my story and to put it out there. And if it helps even one person, like we keep saying, even one survivor who feels empowered, makes it worth it. But it also is just like, yeah, I'm finding my voice too. I'm finding my voice right along with you. So anyway, I guess I wanted to share that because this episode was all about kind of where we're at and how we're feeling and what we're doing. And, so that is just the honest truth of where I'm at. So again, thank you so much for listening. It means the world to me and all of the comments and the people reaching out. I mean, if you're a survivor and you're listening, please reach out. I want to hear those things for sure. And I want to be able to say, yeah, we're finding our voices together. So yeah, thank you.
If you or someone you know is stuck in a trafficking situation and needs help, please reach out to the National Human Trafficking Hotline by calling 1-888-373-7888 or text HELP, H-E-L-P, to 233-733.